Joe, before you're cleared, do you have a love for God?
Check.
Time for God?
Check.
Is your Bible open?
Check.
Do you have no distractions?
Check.
Well, Joe, we are cleared for takeoff.
Heaven, how might this be my story? Heaven, how very soon I'll be gone. Heaven, how to my mansion in glory. When you hear the trumpet sound, I'm heaven bound.
Cleared for Takeoff is a preparatory program for your faith journey. And now, here is your host, Deacon Joe Montone.
Good morning, my friends, and welcome to Holy Spirit Radio on our program, Clear for Takeoff. My name is Deacon Joe Montone, and it's a privilege and a pleasure to be back here with you on the air at 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. This weekend, we celebrate the 22nd Sunday in Ordinary Time. Let's begin with our checklist. Number one, do you have time for God this morning? Check. Is your heart wide open for God? Check. Is your Bible open? Check. And are you now free of distractions? Check. And if you've answered yes to the four questions, then we are ready to engage in the Word of God. Let's go to our first reading from the book of Sirach, chapter 3, verses 17 to 18, 20 and 28 to 29. And here it is. My child, conduct your affairs with humility, and you will be loved more than a giver of gifts. Humble yourself the greater you are, and you will find favor with God. What is too sublime for you, seek not. Into things beyond your strength, search not. The mind of a sage appreciates proverbs. An attentive ear is the joy of the wise. Water quenches a flaming fire, and alms atones for sins. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And in the book of Sirach today, we have a great message, once again, of humility. And this weekend's readings are really all about humility. And as we get into it and look at this, I want you to think about you yourself and where you stand with regard to humility. The book of Sirach says, my child, conduct your affairs with humility, and you will be loved more than a giver of gifts. So where in your life do we need to have more humility? For you and I, my friends, because you are not alone. We all need more humility. Do we have the humility as husbands and fathers to say, I love you? How often do you tell your children, your wife, that you love them? How often are you in a position where you need to apologize and are reluctant because of a lack of humility, too much pride, too much ego? How often have you said, you're sorry, or I was wrong, please forgive me? Again, the book tells us to conduct our affairs with humility. So in dealing with other people, in whatever the situation is, God calls us to a higher standard, to extend more humility to other people. And it requires really some time to look at ourselves in the mirror and identify whether or not we are humble or we are egotistical. Think about it. This is between you and God, my friends. But the Word of God says, if you conduct your affairs with humility, you will be loved more than a giver of gifts. So there's no check you can write, no gift that you can deliver that is greater than humility before God. Humility in the eyes of God. Enough humility to say that you were wrong to your wife or to your husband, to your mother or father. I remember one day doing the WINGS program at a recovery home down in Northeast Philadelphia in Kensington. We had a gentleman who had been living with his mother. He was an addict, and because of his need for drugs, he took $200 from his mother's purse, and his mother didn't know about it at the time, but when she found out, she was very upset and didn't talk to her son for 2 years. And unfortunately, you know, there wasn't enough humility in that gentleman at that moment. But in time, he had the humility to apologize to his mother for stealing $200 from her purse. Imagine living with your mom and then stealing $200 because of a need to buy drugs, a need for a fix through addiction. A drug addict, I have been told, will do anything for another fix to get the drug. He will steal from family. He will burglarize his parents' home. He will rob and run. He will do anything to get the next high. And so today we talk about humility in the eyes of God. God calls us to a higher standard. And so as we look at ourselves out there, we want to really understand that we have to extend ourselves a little bit further, to go where we haven't gone before, to maintain the relationships that are important to us in our homes, in the workplace, in our church, and this requires humility. Years ago, we had a woman in our prayer group who hadn't spoken to her sister for over 20 years. And she was reluctant to call out of pride and ego. And one Christmas season, the Holy Spirit inspired her. She felt called to pick up the phone and to call her sister, who she hadn't talked to for 20 years because of an argument, a disagreement. And she didn't pick up the phone. And the Spirit continued to prompt her in the Christmas season. And finally, she picked up the phone, called her sister, and spoke to her. They had a genuine conversation, which they hadn't talked for more than 20 years. And it went okay. It wasn't great. But she did get the chance to, you know, apologize. When she was done, about 2 weeks later, her sister died. She was called home by God. And God was calling this woman in our prayer group to humble herself, to make amends before her sister's time would come. And so with that phone call, she gained the greater peace, because she did offer the apology. It took a lot of humility, as it does for all of us sometimes, to pick up the phone, to make a call, to make a visit, to write a letter. And in the WINGS program, I know that we have had thousands of people write letters of apology, letters of forgiveness, letters of appreciation, but to make amends, to close the gap on those situations that have been there and plagued us, the burden we carried for many years, in this case, 20 years. And so God calls us to first make amends, to settle our differences with other people before we bring him a gift at the altar. And God's word confirms that. So if you're out there today and you have a letter of forgiveness to write or a phone call to make to offer an apology, I inspire you, I encourage you right now to sit down and write that letter or make that call and bring it in to the differences and to the separation that exists presently, to the burden that you carry. Make that call, write that letter, and do it today. Don't put it off like this woman did for 20 years, because nobody knows the time or the day or the hour, the moment God will call us home. So he calls us to a greater level of humility. Out of love for God, extend yourself a little bit further to be in line with what God calls us to do in the area of humility. Let's go to our second reading. A reading from the letter to the Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 18 to 19, 22 to 24. And here it is. Brothers and sisters, you have not approached that which could be touched, and a blazing fire and gloomy darkness and storm and a trumpet blast, and a voice speaking words such as those who heard beg that no message be further addressed to them. No, you have approached Mount Zion and the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, the countless angels in festal gathering, and the assembly of the firstborn enrolled in heaven, the God, the judge of all, and the spirits of the just made perfect, and Jesus the mediator of a new covenant, and the sprinkled blood that speaks more eloquently than that of Abel. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And in our second reading in the letter to the Hebrews, the reading contrasts Israel's experience of entering God's covenant at the foot of Mount Sinai to Christian baptism. And this is important, my friends, because it was on Mount Sinai that God gave Moses the Ten Commandments. And he wants his people to enter that covenant, that agreement, that contract, to do as God tells us to do, and to truly sin no more, to live a clean life, to live a life of increase. And in the Word of God, in the book of Deuteronomy, Moses tells us to be careful to observe all the commandments I enjoin on you today, that you may live and increase and may enter in and possess the land which the Lord promised an oath to your fathers. Remember how for 40 years now the Lord your God had directed all your journeying in the desert so as to test you by affliction and find out whether or not it was your intentions to keep his commandments. And this is true today, my friends, because you and I are being tested many times on a daily basis, because God calls us to uphold that agreement today, to live out our lives within the laws of God, and to not deviate to the left or to the right, but to do exactly as the Lord our God calls us to do. And it's powerful. And when we adhere to these laws, God blesses us what the blessings of obedience. And these blessings are there today for us, that God will love us and bless us and multiply us. He will bless the fruit of our womb, our children. He will bless us in our work and in our health and in our homeland. But today, my friends, in this reading, we look at the contrast between the covenant and the Christian baptism. And when we are baptized in Christ, we truly are in a position to start fresh, to start new. And it's up to the parents to lead us in the right direction, to give us the guidance and direction in daily life. It's up to the parents and godparents and the people who have an impact on us as children to lead us in a way that is within the law of God, so that we're not disciplined by God, but we are in the grace of God, open to the blessings of obedience throughout our entire life. And it's important that we get this right from the beginning. We know life can take us to the right and to the left in so many ways. People deviate because of work situations, a drive for a great career, a drive for sports and hobbies and friends and relationships with boyfriends and girlfriends. But God calls us to a higher standard, to live a good life, to live a life of increase where we are getting things from life. We are getting a family. We are getting children. We are getting a home with space and privacy, with love within it, the love of God present, the Word of God present, and the peace of God present, where we are getting things that God refers to as blessings of obedience. As a result of being obedient to God, living within that covenant that God made for us, as He did so many years ago with the Hebrews, God gives us the opportunity to receive the blessings because we are within that covenant. We keep our promise. We are promise keepers, and we are beneficiaries of the blessings of obedience today, and it's powerful. And so today, I ask you, where are you in your relationship for God? Are you living within the laws that God put forth to the Hebrews on Mount Sinai? Are you within that covenant, or are you outside the envelope? You know, in aviation, there's a thing called the envelope, and every airplane has to fly within the envelope. When they're outside the envelope, bad things can happen. A wing can come off an airplane. The airplane can fall apart in the sky because of too much stress on its physical parts. And so the pilot must always be within the envelope, inside the actual text that the manufacturer who designed the aircraft has put forth. So you and I must stay within God's envelope, within that covenant, within that agreement, so that we, number one, can be open for the blessings of obedience, but also way beyond that is eternal life with our Lord Jesus Christ and our Father in heaven. And it's powerful. And when we do this, we are pleasing God. We are putting a smile on God's face. Let's go to our gospel reading. A reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 14, verses 1 and 7 to 14. And here it is. On a Sabbath, Jesus went to dine at the home of one of the leading Pharisees, and the people there were observing him carefully. He told a parable to those who had been invited, noticing how they were choosing the places of honor at the table. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not recline at table in the place of honor. A more distinguished guest than you may have been invited by him, and the host who invited both of you may approach you and say, "Give your place to this man." And then you would proceed with embarrassment to take the lowest place. Rather, when you are invited, go and take the lowest place, so that when the host comes to you, he may say, "My friend, move up to a higher position." Then you will enjoy the esteem of your companions at the table. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Then he said to the host who invited him, "When you hold a lunch or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or your wealthy neighbors, in case they may invite you back and you have repayment. Rather, when you hold a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind. Blessed indeed will you be because of their inability to repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. And in the Gospel of Luke today, once again, God calls us to a higher standard for humility. And for many of us, we may want to be first. We may want the accolades. We may want to be positioned up front, to be seen, to be made visible, and to be acknowledged. But God calls us to sit back and to wait and to allow other people to go first. He says, when you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not recline at the table in the place of honor. It's not our time to be honored. A more distinguished guest than you and I may have been invited. So God calls us to avoid embarrassment and to take the lowest place. He calls us to a higher level of humility, my friends, and to once again understand that everyone has their place. Just like in the gospel, when the apostles desired to go to heaven with our Lord and to sit at his right hand and at his left hand, and the Lord had to explain that this is not for him to decide, and how the Father will decide these things. And so, where do you and I stand with regards, once again, to humility? Because God says, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Are we humbling ourselves enough? Or are we exalting ourselves, raising ourselves up to be acknowledged, to be in a position higher than other people? God calls us to humble ourselves. So in the home, in the workplace, in the church, in organizations that you and I work in doing community service, remember God calls us to a higher standard for humility. And especially where we are serving God, very often people will not acknowledge you. Sometimes they will step on you, step over you, and you will feel unappreciated. But God calls us to wait and to do our parts as servants, and that there may be a more distinguished guest who may have been invited to a dinner, a banquet, to an event, but to just be patient. And for those who exalt themselves, they will be humbled. And the one who humbles himself will be exalted. I remember many years ago in conducting the WINGS program inside the Philadelphia Department of Prisons. After 4 years of service at three facilities, doing the WINGS program, a 50-hour, 10-week, 20-session program, for hundreds and hundreds of inmates every year. After 4 years, we were acknowledged as Program of the Year out of 68 programs. June 25th, 2015, the Commissioner Louis Giorla of the Philadelphia Department of Prisons recognized us at a banquet, and we were given the award for Program of the Year out of 68 programs, and I personally was given a award as Volunteer of the Year on the same night. And it was a beautiful blessing that had come after literally hundreds of seminars for hundreds of men that was ongoing for the past 4 years. And we did over 9 years of service. And it takes a lot of humility to go into a prison, because there's risk involved. And there are men who have different attitudes that you have to deal with. And you never know what is going to happen next. But it takes a lot of humility, because people in front of you, and we had 30 inmates at every class, but the people in front of you have lost their freedom. They have lost their families in many cases, lost their driver's licenses, their bank accounts. Their homes have been foreclosed on. It takes a lot of humility to even say that you were incarcerated or that you were a drug addict, you were an alcoholic. It takes a lot of humility to stand up in front of a group of people to tell people where you've been, to give your testimony. But God calls us to that standard, my friends. Once again, God says, "For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and the one who humbles himself will be exalted." And that's the zone we want to be in, to be lifted up by God at the right time. He lifts up the lowly and gives them responsibility to do great things in the eyes of God. Let us go forth today, my friends, with greater humility to reach a higher standard in being humble servants to God as husbands and fathers, community servants, as workers, in whatever situation. Go forth with greater humility and allow God to be the one to lift you up and to exalt you in His time and in His way. That's our show for today. May God bless you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My name is Deacon Joe Montone. Have a great day. God bless you. And we'll talk to you next time here at Holy Spirit Radio and Clear for Takeoff. God bless.
You have been listening to Cleared for Takeoff with your host, Deacon Joe Montone, a weekly preparatory program for your faith journey.